Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Jesus, when he pivoted from Jericho and went to Jerusalem, whooped up on that bully death, defeated death so we would not be afraid to live. He took on what we fear the most, and what we fear the most is to live without meaning and to die without victory. He has given us that great victory. A bully shows up and Jesus takes him on, or her, as the case may be. Bullies. Bullies are cowards, standing up because they think they have more might and positioned leverage over the rest of us, and death is that ultimate bully saying, I'm going to win. You're not getting out of this world without my bullying you to defeat because I will win. And Jesus said, you think so? Well, I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission from heaven to earth, and I'm going to right things that are wrong, and I'm going to show what heaven is really like. Because every miracle I perform, every teaching that I share is showing you exactly what heaven is like. And the people on earth will catch that. And they'll see right through you, old bully. You know how bullies have changed your life. I remember in middle school, there was a person who had moved in from Mississippi. I understand a lot more of what Richard was experiencing then than I did at the time. I can feel more of what he was afraid of, but when he showed up, he was bigger than the rest of us, and it changed how we played. How we played basketball before school and after school, and how we kind of changed the tone in classes along the way. So I was given that responsibility to play basketball with Richard, and here I am. I'm on the outside, ready to throw the ball in, and Richard was right in my face. The temptation was too great. I just couldn't resist it. I pretended like I was throwing to the right, but I threw it right in his face. Well, you can imagine what took off from there. And so we went at it, and there was Mr. Ball, who was our PE teacher, science teacher, and he was a big man filled with a lot of heft, and he just gave this finger, and that meant we're to go with him to the principal's office. Well, back in the day, they used to be able to spank you, corporal punishment and all of that. And so he pulled out his special paddle that was taped and had holes in it to create more leverage. And it was worth every hit I got. Only to discover that what Richard really was is he was lonely. He was trying to figure out how to fit in, and so he fit in by being the biggest and the baddest, if that was the only way he was going to find his place, and really to step into his loneliness with him, was then to create a way to see what his life was really wanting. That was a friend. Death is a doorway that we pass through in order to get to the rest of the vision that God has for our life. Christ, who said that he is the door, one of the great I am statements was saying that you pass through me in death and you've entered immediately into the presence of my Father's realm. You've entered immediately into the place where I have come from you here on earth. And of course, the problem is that we have to actually die in order to get there. And it's what we fear the most. I mean, people will say that the number one fear is speaking, public speaking. I mean, I could die a thousand deaths every Sunday morning, but, you know, I've noticed that when we're about to physically die, all of a sudden that fear of public speaking just kind of goes away. It really is that ultimate fear. And so God who sees beyond death wants to show us what death is really like, and so he has given us that courage. I see that courage in you. I want you to know you are my kind of people. I mean, this is our Spring Forward Daylight Savings Day Sunday, the first Sunday of spring break, and you are here. You are my kind of people. The whole thing about Spring Forward is that we're going to play with this clock of time and measuring our life. And Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. He talks about light in the story of light and darkness in the story of John 11, this incredible narrative. Read the whole chapter of John 11 later today. It could change your life. And when Jesus says, while it is still day, then do the work of day. And when it is night that you can't work any longer, what he is saying there is when you're alive, live your life. When death comes, God is going to shine through death. Now, the disciples didn't get it, and most of us, when we're reading it, don't get it. And that's exactly what he is saying for our lives. So have you accepted the victory that Jesus has won for you? Are you living your life with meaning? Are you living your life not afraid to die? Oh, we all have some fear of what it's going to be, a car wreck, a cancer, a surprise here and there, genetics catching up with us. That's normal. That just kind of keeps us humble in this world. It means we don't take anything for granted. But every time that takes place, Jesus says, I've got you covered. I've got it. Don't stay in that fear. I'm going to show you through. I'm going to take your hand and I'm going to guide you right through. That's how Jesus showed us. How in an upside down world can be turned right side up. That Jesus came to make it clear for us. And so if you want to know what heaven is like, don't think of golden streets or playing golf. Think about everything that Jesus did. Is what heaven is like, except no problems. No pain, no grief, no problems. The bully death has been done away with. Now, in knowing that, are we really free to live? Have we really stepped into what that means? Well, three takeaways come from this incredible story that includes Thomas, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and a lot of people looking on. First is to grasp Jesus by grasping the meaning of what Jesus is showing. So there's this remarkable conversation in John 11, 25, 26, and 27. Now, some of you will recall when we're first introduced to Mary and Martha, these two sisters, the sisters of the brother Lazarus. We're introduced to them right after the Good Samaritan parable in Luke 10. And that's when Martha gets bad press. Many of you will think of Martha, and she's the one who stayed in the kitchen. She's fussing at Jesus because she's not telling her sister Mary to come help and get things ready in the kitchen. And so we talk about being, you know, Mary in a Martha world, Martha in a Mary world, and Jesus told Martha, now listen to your sister, because she is right now, she's doing the work of a woman disciple. She's doing the work of a man or a woman. She's doing the work of what a disciple is to be doing. She is listening to the teaching, and that's what gives you meaning in the kitchen and everything else you do. Here's the great word about Martha. She got the lesson. She wasn't defensive. She got the lesson, because we find Martha is the lead of the two sisters in John 11. This is some months later. It is Martha who goes to Jesus and says, he has already died. We sent for you a couple of days ago. You deliberately waited. You didn't come. Come on, God, why did you do that? Have you prayed that prayer before? God, why didn't you fill in the blank? And the Lord says, let me widen your lens to understand more clearly what's going on. It's like that person who's complaining to God. He says, God, you're sure sending a lot of people after me, and I'm having to swim in the deep waters all the time. And God says, the reason I'm putting you in the deep waters is because your enemies don't know how to swim. It's a sense of seeing this wider lens of what God is doing, or partnering with him. So Martha, though, with a heart that had the honesty to say, God, why didn't you? But listening to the voice of God in Christ, speaking the message, and Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Verse 25. That's on the meditation bench that we have in our prepared estate in Burney, Texas. Our prepared estate is not a big home. It's not on a big ranch. It's in the cemetery. 16 spots right there. Brother once said to us, when we had a family reunion standing right at that spot, he said, when you're asked who's going to get to be buried where, first come, first serve, you make your choice. There's one of the meditation benches, my mother's favorite verse. She leaned into it and she lived knowing the reality. The Christ has defeated bully death. He'd also defeated dementia. He also had defeated Parkinson's disease. He had defeated it all, and she leaned into it. And there is, I am the resurrection and the life. One lives though he dies. He lives. Because death is a brief pause into what God has to show next. And then, having said that, Jesus knows this as people. He looked at Martha like he's looking at you right now. And he said, ask, do you believe this? Jesus asked more questions in the New Testament than anyone else. Not because he didn't know the answer. He was wanting to know whether they knew the answer. He's wanting to know if you know the answer. Do you believe this? And Martha then gave that big confession of faith. Oh, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has been sent into the world. Christ means anointed. You've been anointed by the Father. You've been the Son of God. You have come as the fullness of God in our midst. And you have come to make a difference in this world by showing us the heavenly world. I can picture Jesus just kind of saying, you've grasped it. You got it. You're there. Now, as this image shows, that when we are brokenhearted, we do a trust fall, and we're able to see that in our broken heart, God is healing us and making us whole. You notice how spring follows winter? Isn't the landscape around San Antonio beautiful now? Red buds and crepe myrtles and mountain laurels and all of it's kind of blooming. That's why I think, you know, God always has an answer to winter. Winter is actually the first season of the year getting ready for what is yet to come. And Jesus came on earth to show us what was coming. If God does that with nature, won't he do that many more times for you as a believer in Christ? Grasp it and be grasped by it. Feel. A second takeaway from this amazing encounter is to feel. The shortest verse in the Bible is John 11:35. Jesus wept. Say it with me. Jesus wept. You've memorized a verse of Scripture today. And why did he weep? Because he was willing to feel. Lazarus was his best guy friend, and Mary and Martha were his best gal friends. He felt for them in his human heart. He felt, and so he was also bringing up what was going to be required to help disbelieving eyes to see what he was showing, discounting minds to grasp what was there before them to take in. They would be stretched, and so he was doing the work to show here on earth what was about to happen. Now, truth is, some of us just kind of wake up in the morning and the glass is half empty. Some of us wake up in the morning and it's half full. Some of that's just our disposition, life experiences, genetics. And so us half full people shouldn't go around making those half empty people feel bad early in the morning. Yeah. It actually takes more courage when that's not your natural disposition. But before we get out of bed in the morning, like I did this morning at 4 o'clock, wait, was that 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock? I put my feet on the floor and said, Lord, I am yours. Lead me in this day. Be my courage. Show me your way. Well, that makes your glass a little more than half full. And as we go through the day, that water will splish and splash and go over the edges, and it'll have to get refilled along the way, but we end the day in his presence with a glass that is full. He was willing to weep, and he was willing to heal by his power. Now, if you take Charles Schultz, who was a dynamic Christian, but who lived with a kind of a worried spirit, who lived with the spirit of being the glass half empty, gave us Charlie Brown, Linus, Lucy, Snoopy, Woodstock, that whole team of people. So you see this strip now, there's Charlie Brown and his buddy are kind of wondering. Worrying won't stop the bad stuff from happening. It just stops you from enjoying the good. See, that's what happens. When we haven't let God show us that the bully death has been taken care of, then like Richard moving in from Mississippi, we begin to fear the whole day. You kind of wake up in the morning and you're thinking, is Richard going to try to push me down today? We wonder, gosh, I'm not going to be able to do whatever because he's going to be there. Or you speak right into the heart of the bully and you say, you do not have power to change my life. You'll affect me. You'll try to shape my circumstances. But in God's power, we're going to change that. When Jesus wept, he took his grief into victory and showed us his power. Now see, our goal in life is not to escape death. You can't. None of us can. That's why we're headed towards Easter. That's why we spend a focus in March getting ready for April the 1st. That's why we get ready for the Easter day of 2018 by saying how Jesus intentionally focused his ministry to show his power to be the Savior of the world, the Lord of our lives, and the Lord over any situation in our life that we think is going to bring death to us. We've got to get ready for it. And so Jesus then said, I'm choosing three people to show my power of resurrection. He chose a 12-year-old boy, the son of a widow at Nain. He chose about a 12-year-old girl, the son of a leader in Capernaum. And he chose a man, Lazarus, whose name means God helps. And so he said, where's the grave? It's over there. He was walking over there. People walked with him. What's going to happen? It's high drama. Jesus was fearless. And he wants you and I to be fearless in our life. Now, again, some of us may wake up in the morning filled with fear, and God says, I've got you. Give me your fears today. Trust me as you go through this day. I want to ease that burden. But don't go around draining my life or your life by having it drained off by fear that hasn't been given to Christ. He got near the grave, and I've been there on location, as some of you have. Turn off my mic for 3 seconds, Mike. Lazarus! You come out now! Okay, turn it back on. He yelled, and the Spirit of God stirred the promise of this resurrection, not waiting to heaven, but doing it right here on earth. And he walked out of the grave, not as a mummy, not as a ghost. He walked out of the grave as a live man. And Jesus says, you take those wrappings off of him because he is alive. My grandson's looking at me and said, Poppy, what did you just do? He is alive. Now you would think that would win everybody's hearts and minds, wouldn't you? So many of them said, I believe, Lord, you are the resurrection and the life. But there were others still intimidated by the bully. Still intimidated by the bully that was lined up with the religious leaders and lined up with the government, who went back and told the Pharisees, let me give you the latest scoop on Jesus. And they, Ananias, Caiaphas, and other folk of that leadership bully team, plotted all the more of how they were going to kill Jesus, like that was going to win their cause. Why is it so hard to get this? It takes faith. It takes faith because we got pain and we got problems. It takes faith because we're leaning into something we have not yet experienced. Or haven't we? Haven't we experienced the love of God holding us close? Haven't we experienced the wonder of God showing us that he is trustworthy here? Haven't we? dying to live. To live in the power of Christ. You, O Lord, you're the power, you're the Savior. We are yours. Stepping into this moment, this sacred moment, in Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.